The World This Week, Politics.
The Israeli Defense Forces said it had gained control of widespread parts of Gaza City as Israel launched its long-expected ground attack. Scores of Palestinians were reportedly killed and thousands more fled. The IDF said 600,000 people remained. It says its aim is to defeat the 3,000 Hamas fighters still in the city. Meanwhile, Marco Rubio met Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem to discuss what the future holds for Gaza. The American Secretary of State admitted that Donald Trump was unhappy with Israel's attempt to assassinate Hamas's leaders in Qatar, although he also said that America stands with Israel. Saudi Arabia signed a mutual defense pact with Pakistan, a nuclear-armed country, strengthening their decades-long security partnership. The accord comes after Gulf states and other countries in the region were rattled by Israel's attack in Qatar. The office of Pakistan's prime minister said the agreement states that any aggression against either country shall be considered an aggression against both. When asked if that includes the use of nuclear weapons, officials said the pact was comprehensive. America, Egypt, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates called for a 3-month truce in Sudan's civil war. This temporary break would be followed by an immediate permanent ceasefire and a 9-month transition to civilian rule. The proposal comes after renewed efforts by America to broker an end to a war that has displaced millions. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, Brazil's president, said that the guilty verdict handed down to Jair Bolsonaro, his predecessor, by the country's Supreme Court, safeguarded the rule of law and democracy. He also criticized Donald Trump for trying to undermine the court during its deliberations. 4 of the 5 justices deciding the case found Mr. Bolsonaro guilty of conspiring to stop the transfer of power after he lost the 2022 election. He was sentenced to 27 years confinement. American forces struck a second Venezuelan boat suspected of transporting drugs, killing 3 narco-terrorists, according to Mr. Trump. Meanwhile, America added Colombia to a list of countries judged to be not cooperating in the war on drugs. Cocaine production has soared in Colombia, but the leftist president, Gustavo Petro, has been less robust than his predecessors in supporting action against drug gangs. He often remarks that whiskey kills more people than cocaine. The government in Indonesia announced another stimulus package, which includes providing poorer households with rice. Street protests are still taking place against the perks enjoyed by politicians amid a cost-of-living crisis, but not on the same scale as the recent deadly disturbances. Separately, the central bank surprised markets by cutting interest rates. Following the recent student-led unrest in Nepal, in which 72 people were killed, Sushila Karki, the newly appointed interim prime minister, promised to hand over power to the government that emerges from elections planned for March 5th. "We have to work according to the thinking of the Gen Z generation," said Ms. Karki. The Taliban banned fiber-optic networks across the north of Afghanistan to prevent immorality. It is thought to be the first time fiber-optic links have been prohibited in any part of the country, though more expensive mobile connections are still allowed. The right-wing Alternative for Germany, or AfD party, tripled its vote share in municipal elections in North Rhine-Westphalia, Germany's most populous state, which includes the cities of Cologne and Dusseldorf. The AfD overtook the Greens to come third, increasing its vote from 5% in 2020 to 14.5%. The Christian Democrats came first, holding their vote steady at 33%. The cause of Alexei Navalny's death in a Russian prison was poisoning, according to his wife, Yulia Navalnaya, who managed to smuggle biological samples from her late husband to foreign laboratories for testing. Navalny, Russia's main opposition leader, was found dead in February 2024. Prosecutors in Romania charged Călin Georgescu, who came top in the first round of a presidential election last November, with plotting a coup. The prosecutors allege that Mr. Georgescu met a group of military types to discuss seizing power after his victory was annulled by the courts over concerns that Russia had given material support to his campaign. The election was voided and Mr. Georgescu was barred from standing in May's rerun. Tyler Robinson was charged with the murder of Charlie Kirk, a conservative commentator and activist. Enraged by the killing, J.D. Vance, America's vice president, promised to clamp down on radical left lunatics. Mr. Trump said he might designate Antifa, a far-left movement, as a domestic terrorist organization. Donald Trump launched a lawsuit against the New York Times, claiming it published defamatory articles about him. He is seeking $15 billion in damages. He is also currently suing the Wall Street Journal. ABC News and CBS News' parent company have settled lawsuits brought by Mr. Trump. ABC pulled Jimmy Kimmel's nightly talk show after he suggested Mr. Robinson supported MAGA. The show drew criticism from the Federal Communications Commission. Last month, Mr. Trump pressed the FCC to revoke the broadcast licenses for the ABC and NBC networks, claiming they were biased. Mr. Trump made a state visit to Britain, becoming the first American president to have been given the honour of two official trips to see the monarch. He paid his first visit in 2019 to see Queen Elizabeth II. Mr. Trump was greeted with an unprecedented amount of pageantry by King Charles III. Coinciding with the trip, American companies, including Microsoft and OpenAI, announced big new investments in the country. The president landed in a restless Britain, where scandal has claimed senior Labour politicians and advisers alike. A Unite the Kingdom protest, mostly against mass migration, saw 150,000 people march in London. The far-right organisers claimed attendance was much higher. Meanwhile, the courts blocked the deportation of the first migrant under the government's new one-in, one-out scheme, which is supposed to be its flagship policy to deter illegal migrants. Reform UK, led by Nigel Farage, is the main beneficiary of Britain's febrile mood. A Tory MP defected to the party this week.